Welcome to the Call of a Leader conference call, hosted by Dave Johnson, along with top leaders, sharing the Nikken vision.
Well, good morning, everyone. And we've all heard the phrase, the shot that was heard around the world. And I believe this is a telephone call that just might be heard around the world, because we have Ben Woodward. And one of the most wonderful thrills there is to be involved in our life is to just have a great cause, to have a wonderful purpose, and to share that with others, and have the leadership to help direct that. And it's just my privilege to have as a friend Ben Woodward, and I know he's your friend as well, and our leader and president of NECAN. So, Ben, really grateful to have you on the call this morning. Tell us just a little bit about yourself, and if you could explain, you had a lot of opportunities, and you chose to take your family of six children and your wife halfway around the world. You're located in Irvine, and new world headquarters of NECAN, and we've had NECAN 2.0 for 3 months going into the fourth quarter. I love what you're doing, and we're with you. So, share a little bit.
Yeah, thank you. Thank you, Dave. And, thank you to everyone for having me on the call this morning. It's been a thrilling 3 months here. This first quarter has just come to an end, here in 2015, and my goodness, what incredible results we are already starting to receive. I mentioned on our call on Tuesday, and I'll reiterate it because it's just wonderful news. You know, we've just celebrated our 40th anniversary with NECAN. You know, we were all there in Orlando together, celebrating not just the last 40 years, but also ushering in the next 40 years. And that to me is something that is very, very exciting, to be able to lead from the front, the opportunity to create a new wave and a new legacy, a second chapter, with something that has been going so strongly for 40 years. It's just incredible. And I'm pleased to say that when we introduced this NECAN 2.0 philosophy and approach with quality enrollments and the NECAN plan, we received immediate enthusiasm from the field, which was exciting. But I've also been, and I'm sure those of you that have been around for some time, will have experienced yourselves where people get excited and they give you a lot of verbal encouragement, but it doesn't always follow through in action or results. And so sometimes that can lead to people getting let down, or you can get disappointed. You, for example, in your situations, you go out there and you can set a lot of appointments with people, but how many people will go out there and cancel or actually fulfill the appointment? People can say one thing and other things can happen. And so I was quite curious to see how we're going to move forward with this NECAN plan, in spite of all of the enthusiastic feedback that we were getting. One of the critical things that I think that was important for me was not sitting back to watch, but to be intimately involved every step of the way. And so we began very quickly these leaders calls that I have every Tuesday morning with all of the diamonds and above to really make sure that we're all together working side by side and getting immediate feedback on what was happening from the previous week and what was happening moving forward into the coming week, so that we could really drive forward together and see some meaningful change. And I'm pleased to say that in the month of March, as we came to the end of that first quarter, in the month of March, we were up 19% in sales compared to March of the previous year, and 27% up in sales compared to February, which was incredible. And also, recruitment was up 20%. This is incredible. And this is the visible manifestation of people's belief, trust, and confidence in a cause and an approach to building the business that can really make a difference. Now, we deliberately phased this NECAN plan into two parts as we started from a promotional perspective. We recognized that introducing the need to do 500 points each calendar month, 100 points of which was autoship, coupled with going out there and sponsoring or introducing three brand new people to do the same, could be a big jump for many people. And so we wanted, even though we wanted people to be doing it straight away, we recognized that there would be wisdom in splitting that out into two parts and providing emphasis for one quarter on the quality enrollment behavior to help establish that as culture. And that's what we did. So we had an incentive for quarter one to help people get to grips with doing 500 points each month, 100 points of which was autoship. and to make that a culture, I'm pleased to say that that produced an incredible result. 27% increase in sales. Fantastic. That was awesome. And to be honest, perhaps even greater than many people could have anticipated. Because to turn a ship that's the size of Niken in just 3 months, and to put it on a different trajectory compared to what it's been on for the last number of years, to have that sudden increase of double-digit, significant double-digit growth, is phenomenal. But we got that by just simply having that focus on the first part of the Niken plan. Not the whole part, just the first part. But we wanted to make that a culture. We've made that a culture now, and people are really betting in with that, grasping that. We've seen a lot of people coming out there and saying, we don't want to just do that in the calendar month. We want to do it straight off the bat, get it done in the first few days, in the first week of the month. Others have been saying, we don't want to settle with 500 points. We can do much more than that. And teams of people have been making it their average to do over 1,000 points a month. And so we're really seeing a significant change, and people are getting motivated by this. They're feeling it as a great sense of accomplishment in and of itself to be a quality enrollment each and every month. Now as we move into quarter two, we want to focus, take that as a given. Let's keep on doing that. Let's keep on doing that. And we've got our Rising Star program, of course, in place to provide recognition for those people that are doing their 500 points each and every month, so that those that do it for 3 months, 6 months, 9 months, 12 months, can get ongoing recognition and rewards for their consistent focus of quality enrollment behavior. Of course, it also leads to the Team Kaizen qualification, which a lot of people are excited about. So quarter two, we wanted to introduce something that would help with the other element that would really turbocharge our experience, and that is going out there to find three brand new quality enrollments in a calendar month. That's the second part of the Niken plan. So we're providing 150 Niken reward points for every three new quality enrollments that you bring in a calendar month. If you get three in a month, you get 150. If you bring six in a month, you'll get 300. And then if you bring nine in, you get 450, and so on. And you can get that not just in the first month of enrollment, but in every month from now through to the end of the year. Now, there are a lot of companies, when you talk about launching a business, and people talk about, right now, it feels like we're relaunching Niken. And some leaders are saying, I'm relaunching this market, or I'm relaunching my town. If you're going to take that approach to your business, then simply enrolling three new quality enrollments will not be enough. You'll want to go out there and do 6, 9, or 12 in a calendar month. And there are companies out there that do that month after month after month. So please understand that there is an opportunity here to earn significant income right off the bat as you join the business, as you get going and get started. Focus on that quality enrollment, help others to do the same. Use our existing resources and tools to help you do that through the Business 21 Club, for example, and you can earn $250 for achieving a Business 21 Club. You can also achieve $250 for helping someone by being the consistent A in a Business 21 Club. And you can earn that month after month after month. And there are some people out there right now that are committed to doing multiple Business 21 Clubs this month in order to help their downlines, their teams, to achieve their goals of becoming silver as quickly as they can and for rank advancing and building their organizations. So we've got all of these wonderful tools in place that are designed to reward you right off the bat, right out of the gate, for doing the right things and getting the right results. And these can be very lucrative. And we've got a wonderful mixture of different types of rewards. We've got recognition. We've got cash rewards in the $250 cash bonuses for Business 21 Clubs. You've got Niken reward points as well. You've got free renewal, free shipping in there for your consistency rewards. We've got a whole host of things. Paragon Award offers $1,000 or a free engraved iPad. Wonderful bonuses, and of course the Niken plan through the compensation plan can pay you out literally $2,000 a month within 3 months' time, or $10,000 as a platinum, or $30,000 per month as a platinum or a diamond. These are significant benefits that we can get, but of course right at the front we can get a lot moving forward as well. So to me, I'm really excited. I believe that going into the month of April and May and June, over this next quarter, we'll continue to have significant double-digit growth as we're moving forward with these plans. because often what we see in 3 months' time is the consequence of what we put in place right here, right now. So as people have been working hard these last few months, we're seeing immediate, visible, tangible results, which I anticipate we'll see a great improvement in a lot of people's checks this month, but also that will stimulate, again, more change, more advancements, more progress. Because I've been inundated this last week with people talking about the people that they have been working with that are going to be rank advancing this month to new ranks of silver, gold, and platinum in their teams, and teams of people rank advancing. So I think we're going to be seeing some really positive results coming through this month. A lot to be excited about, and a lot, of course, for us to engage with, run with, and be confident that we're going to get some positive change in our businesses.
Oh, I agree. I think a lot of it, too, is heart. And a keeper of the flame, I was listening to one of the Entre Leadership podcasts that Dave Ramsey has, and they were talking about just that people don't buy what you do, they buy why you do it. And the goal is not for people to buy what you have, the goal is to do business with people who believe what you believe. And I think that just fits into where we are right now. And of course, what we do proves what we believe. Talking about the goal is to hire people who believe what your business does.
Yeah.
And I think that's why we're going so well, is we know why we do what we do. Because people don't buy what you do, they buy why you do it.
And that's really important.
Find people that not just work for money, which is very lucrative with us, but if we can bring in people who believe what we believe, you know, they'll do more than just work for money. They'll work for blood, sweat, tears. And I just really appreciate what you're doing, Ben. And could you kind of just talk about why you're doing this? Because you've had other offers, and why are you here right now?
Well, I wholeheartedly, 100% believe in our cause and our philosophy, which is centered on humans being more, helping people to genuinely achieve their fullest potential. And yes, you're right, Dave. I've had other offers in the past that give me the chance to work elsewhere, lucrative offers that come through. But this, to me, is the real opportunity. I've believed in our vision and our cause long before I ever became acquainted with NECAN. So to me, getting introduced to it and being a part of NECAN, it was just an automatic, wonderful marriage for me, because this philosophy of humans being more, helping people to become their very best, and having the privilege to be in this wonderful position where I can champion that cause and not just talk about the opportunity to earn good income, but more importantly, and it is more important for me, be able to champion the cause of becoming a better person. And to be happier, and to know what is required to be happier, and how to do that. And the great thing is, the NECAN business facilitates that opportunity, because it gives you a vehicle for you to apply those critical life principles that are universal in a place and an environment where you can be supported, mentored, coached, encouraged, and also have people that have driven on a similar path. Scrape their knees, bump themselves along the way, and can say, oh, don't do that, that doesn't work because. And I want to share, if it's all right with you, Dave, just two thoughts that I have on the why that lead to, you know, this humans being more concept, this reason for how can we truly be happy. Because it does relate to NECAN, but it is a little bit more philosophical in scope in comparison to what I was just talking about, with the tangible, practical business activities. A man by the name of Wendell Phillips said, "How prudently most men sink into nameless graves, while now and then a few forget themselves into eternity." I really like that. It's to me, there are two key things that if we want to live a happy, abundant life, if we want to become the best that we can be, there are two overarching principles that we need to consider very seriously in order to be both happy and to live abundantly and to become our very best. And the first one is forgiveness, and the second one is selflessness. And I want to talk about these two for just a moment. And forgiveness might seem like an unusual subject to throw out on a conference call that is a collection of business builders, for example, from around the world. But I assure you there is huge relevance. And so let me share my thoughts, and then I'll make the comparisons for context to Nikan, if that's okay. I read of an account a number of years ago of a homecoming that was related by a prison warden by the name of Kenyon J. Scudder. And he said a friend of his happened to be sitting in a railway coach next to a young man who was obviously depressed. Finally, the young man revealed that he was actually a paroled convict returning from a distant prison. And this was going back, I think, in maybe in the 50s, I think, was when this experience occurred. And his imprisonment, he said, had brought shame to his family, and they had neither visited him nor had they written to him very often. And he hoped, however, that this was only because they were either too poor to travel or too uneducated to write. And he hoped that, despite the evidence, that they had forgiven him for his crimes. To make it easy for them, however, he had written to them and asked that they put up a signal for him when the train passed their little farm on the outskirts of town. If his family had forgiven him, they were to put up a white ribbon in the big apple tree which stood near the tracks. If they didn't want him to return, they would do nothing, and he would remain on the train as it traveled onwards and just keep going, find a different destination. As the train neared his hometown, the suspense became so great that he couldn't bear to look out of his window. And he exclaimed to his traveling companion, he said, "In just 5 minutes, the engineer is going to sound the whistle indicating our approach to the long bend which opens up into the valley, which I know to be home." He said, "Can you please watch for the apple tree outside of the track?" His companion said he would, and they exchanged the places. And the minutes, he said, just seemed like hours. But then there came that shrill sound of the train whistle, and the young man asked, "Can you see the tree? Is there a white ribbon?" The response came, "I can see the tree. I see not one ribbon, but many. There is a white ribbon on every branch. Son, someone surely does love you." His traveling companion said in that instant, all the bitterness that had poisoned a life was dispelled. He said, "I felt as if I'd witnessed a miracle in that other man." And of course he had, hadn't he? I think it's very, very important for each of us to learn how to forgive everything. Every offense, every hurt, every setback, every point of discouragement, every sense of criticism that we may receive, and importantly, learn to forgive ourselves for the things that we have done wrong and to let go of it. I truly believe that we often are restricted in our capacity to move forward confidently into the future because we shackle ourselves to the past, either because of mistakes that we have made ourselves or because of offenses that others have caused to come upon us and to come into our lives. Maybe in our business environment, for example, if we've been with Nikan for many years, you may have experienced some reversals of fortune in a way that you had not expected, that you were expecting to grow and to be doing much better now than what you might have been doing before, or that you would have hoped to have been doing. But the reality is that the road to success is actually paved with many failures. And as we learn to accept that, understand that, embrace that, and forgive them, and let them go, we can move on to a brighter future. Maybe someone has let us down. Maybe someone in the company has disappointed us. Maybe someone in your team has disappointed you. As we can learn to let go of that and to forgive and to move forward, we can have great change and a brighter opportunity for hope and excitement and prosperity. And too often we can kick ourselves out of the business because we haven't learned to truly forgive all of the things that can go wrong to us in our lives, self-inflicted or otherwise, because sometimes it's a combination of the both. So my first point in learning to have a happy life, an abundant life, which is all part of our humans being more philosophy, is to truly learn to forgive everything and everyone. And what that does is it releases us from the past, it unshackles us from mediocrity, and it frees us, liberates us, to be able to move forward into our future in a way that is truly liberating And I believe, as I've applied that principle in my life, it really helps us to redefine who we are. Because so much of our success is dependent on how we perceive ourselves. And too often, our perception of ourselves is mingled, muddied by a bunch of things that we don't always realize are lying beneath the surface, that are unforgiven, that just need to be let go of. Again, either perceptions of ourselves internally or offenses that others have caused that we just can't let go of. So that's my first thought, Dave, if that's right, is that principle of forgiveness, I think, is very, very important. We all have a past. We all have baggage. We all have relationships that have been painful or hurtful or unanticipated, and we need to let go of it all. And that would be something that I think is really, really important. The second point, my final point, is as we do move forward, there is another critical virtue, and a virtue that I believe will significantly, if we learn to apply ourselves to this and to do it with gusto, not to do it in small measure, but to do it in great measure, will change our lives for the better incredibly. And if you want to be a great leader in Nikken, I think this principle is very, very important. And again, not in small measure, but in wonderful measure. This principle is the principle of selflessness. A selfless person, in my opinion, is one who is more concerned about the happiness and well-being of another than about his or her own convenience or comfort. One who's willing to serve another person when it is neither sought for nor appreciated. Sometimes we serve others because we want to get that validation coming back. Selflessness often means that we do it whether they know we're serving them or not. I remember one time making an effort with a friend of mine to perform a random act of service that was to be gone, delivered unnoticed. And so while he was, we lived together many years ago, while he was getting ready for work that morning, I quietly stuck in and shined his shoes for him, put his shoes back, and said nothing. And we were out on our bikes that afternoon, and it was raining. And he turned to me and he said, "Wow, my goodness." He says, "The rain really brings out the shine in your shoes, doesn't it?" And I sat to myself thinking, wait a minute, I shined those shoes. But don't say anything, Ben. Leave it. Don't say anything. And I just nodded and said, yes, it really does, doesn't it? It really does. It's good to be able to do random acts of quiet service. Do it not for the opportunity for praise. Do it because it's simply a good thing to do. Serve those that even if they like you or don't like you. I think selflessness isn't just about serving our friends. It's also about serving those that don't like us. A selfless person, I believe, also displays a willingness to sacrifice, a willingness to purge from his or her own mind and heart personal wants and needs and feelings. Instead of reaching for and requiring the praise and recognition for ourselves or gratification for our own wants, the selfless person will meet these very human needs for others. We look out for opportunities to have other people recognized, other people praised, and other people feeling gratified and rewarded. And I think, of course, especially when it comes to leadership, it is that lifelong, ageless principle, whosoever will be the chiefest among you shall be the servant of all. I truly believe that principle of servant leadership. Our responsibilities as leaders is to be the servant of everyone that we serve and that we care for. So I think that's also important. Of course, the antithesis of selflessness is selfishness. And the Webster's Dictionary describes a selfish person in this way. Listen to this. It says, a selfish person is one who is concerned excessively or exclusively with oneself, seeking pleasure or well-being without regard of others. We could add, perhaps, to that definition that a selfish person is one that uses the words I, me, mine, much more than they use the words we, ours, yours, or theirs. This person is someone that is anxious to be in the limelight, to be on center stage, especially in life's little dramas. They may be a poor listener or a conversation monopolizer. And frustratingly and challengingly, most selfish people don't even realize or consider themselves to be selfish. So it's important to me that if we want to be abundantly happy, going back to my first point, we learn to forgive and let go of everything, all of the hurts, offenses, disappointments, and setbacks that bind us to the past, that define us incorrectly, and block and limit our sense of happiness and well-being. Purge ourselves of that, learn to live, love and let go. And speaking candidly, I had someone come to me many years ago, not in a work position, in a very different context. They'd suffered, and this is an extreme example perhaps, but they'd suffered some serious abuse in their life when they were younger, and they'd been directed to me for some counsel and help on how to move forward. And the counsel that I gave to them, was, whilst it's important to let go of that for your own freedom, to be able to move forward and let go, it's important to recognize that forgiveness isn't an event, it's a process. It's something that will take time, but it's something that we need to work on so that it does eventually happen. So if there is anyone on the call that is thinking, I need to forgive certain things and let go, but it's big, it's hard, it's difficult, sometimes there are significant things that will take a long time to let go of. But understand that forgiveness is a process, not an event. But it can be done, and it will be liberating, and it will really set you free. The other point to reiterate, of course, is principle of selflessness. Learn to serve and build your business, not because it's what you want, but because it's what other people will want for them. Look at serving them and helping them to achieve their goals. One of the reasons we achieved great success in the month of March was because we had so many leaders in the field finding out what the goals were of their downline and worked with them to help them to achieve it. And as a consequence, a lot of ships rose with the tide. And that's one of the great beauties of Niken. Going back to that point, why Niken? Because we have a vehicle here that we can genuinely work together with people on to help them to be selfless, and see our rewards come as a consequence of our giving our lives to other people. And so that would be my recommendation, Dave. That's why I love being a Niken, because I can have conversations like this with people. Because this is what we're all about. We want to have a better life. We know that a better life isn't just about the money. It's about finding happiness. And happiness, you know, Tony Robbins once said that the quality of our life is proportionate to the quality of our emotions. And the challenge is that most of us don't understand our emotions, and we don't know how to govern them. And too often we are governed by them. We often think of our freedom to choose in the context of the choices that we make in regards to behavior, but don't always look at it in the context of we are free to choose how we feel. We're in control of our emotions if we want to be. And if we want to be humans being more, if we want to be our best self, then it is very, very critical for us to be able to identify our emotions and master them. You know, self-mastery is really one of the ultimate pursuits of our lives. To be a master of ourselves. If I can't govern myself, how can I possibly expect to govern others? If I can't lead myself, how can I lead others? And it really starts with learning what our emotions are, or what they're encouraging us to do, and mastering them in the moment. And that's why it's important to let go of the hurts and learn to forget ourselves. That's a great way to master ourselves, is to learn to be selfless. Reach out to others in our teams, find out what their goals, needs, desires are, and help them. And like I said in one of the beginning of this point, was not to do that in small measure, but to do it abundantly. Go out there and with great abundance, with great enthusiasm, serve others and give of ourselves. My wife and I were out at dinner last night. I'll just finish on this point. My brother came over to surprise me for my 40th birthday a couple of weeks ago, and him and his wife came out as a surprise visit and turned up at my door. My wife knew about this. And we were out at dinner last night, and my wife was talking about a habit that I have of complimenting others. And sometimes she was saying, she had a debate, we had a bit of a debate on this, on the value of what I was doing, what I've often done. And compliment someone had their hair done, and I noticed I'd compliment them on their hair. Oh, your hair looks lovely. And I'd compliment them on that. My PA came into my office and said, she's a wonderful lady. I would imagine, I hope I'm getting right, she's about 60 perhaps, in her age. She had a beautiful perfume on, and I complimented her on her perfume, and with all good intent, you know. If I notice something that is nice, I share it. And so at the dinner table last night, our waiter came over, and my wife commented that, well, he's got really nice teeth. I said, well, why don't you say something? Why don't you compliment him? And she, well, people don't do that, Ben. You do that, but people don't. I said, well, do it. See what happens. And so she did. And she said, as he was giving us our bill, she said, if you don't mind me saying, she said, you have lovely teeth. Right? And you know what? His face lit up. And he says, well, that really means a lot to me. He said, I'm glad you say that. He says, because they were in braces for 5 years when I was younger. And it's good to know that all of that hard work paid off. Thank you very much. And his face just lit up. And I said, doesn't it feel good when you see someone smile like that, their face lights up because you paid them a compliment? It's good to be nice. It's a nice feeling. Do it. Make the most of it. And that's my recommendation, ladies and gentlemen. Look for opportunities to be good, to be nice, to compliment others, to serve others, to be selfless, and to forgive all the hurts and offenses that come your way, because there's too much to get out of life to hold on to it all. Do that, and apply that to the business model in NECAN, and my goodness me, you've got an opportunity there to have a wonderful life. And to me, that's why I'm in NECAN, because we can do that in abundance here. Long answer to a short question. That to me, Dave, is exactly why I'm in NECAN. It's a chance to reach out to so many people, to help them feel good, legitimately, and to provide a vehicle for them to make a difference, to be selfless, to serve, to give back, and to help people have a better life. And that's what NECAN really does.
Well, Ben, thank you. I feel warm and good inside just listening to you on the telephone this morning. And yeah. And that's... I think one of my favorite things is just building a team and being in communication with so many wonderful people and knowing when you're doing NECAN that you can do so much good and when you hear all of this thankfulness of people that have been touched because of the product and, you know, given some vision and purpose that they share that and it just reinforces all of this wonderful good stuff. I think one of my favorite emotions to experience is just the feeling of thankfulness and gratitude. It's just akin to kind of the feeling you get in worship and just having that reinforced every day by all of these thankful people because of being touched by this. It's just fantastic. If you could just share a story that I touched me and then maybe just end with that. You were at a huge event years ago with actually another company and you mentioned that probably was the secret to big success. And I love the idea of not just having these products, but having an ability to, with our marketing plan and building teams where you can expand your influence and power to do good. And what this man said that was the secret to, why he had that. Maybe just finish with that.
Sure. I had the chance of working with a person. I believe he was perhaps the most successful network marketer in the United Kingdom a number of years ago. In at his peak, in his heyday, he would put on a team event of 30 to 40,000 people, and he'd host that event three times a year. And that was just his team. And this, like I said, was in pessimistic Britain. You know, this isn't the land where you have the great American dream. There is no great British dream. They don't have one. But he had this incredible team and was a great success. And I spoke to him once. We worked together very closely. And I said to him, Jerry, what, in your opinion, is the key to really growing a great business here? Because he's done it. And what was remarkable to me was his answer came so quickly. He just, without hesitation, gave his answer. It was instinct. It was in him. He knew it because he'd done it for so long. And he said, Ben, he says, the real key to building a great business is building a team that people want to belong to. Having a club that people want to be a part of. That is what it's all about. People can go out there and recruit new people, and they can do okay, but they might not necessarily thrive. People can go out there and retail some product and get some good customers, but they might not necessarily thrive. He says, but those that can build a team or build a club that people want to belong to, he says, then you get things cooking. That's what it's all about. And it's really, really important for us in NECAN, if we want to truly prosper and succeed in the business, that we create a team that people just can't be without. They've got to be a part of it. They've got to be in the game. They've got to be wearing the team colors. They've got to know our language. They've got to be a part of it. We've got to have that team spirit. And when we can have that club mentality, then we truly become unstoppable and things really start to change.
Wow. Ben, I love you and I want to be on your team.
Well, you're in it. You're in it. And I'm thrilled. And Dave, you know, you said at the beginning, you know, you had the pleasure of calling me friend, and it is more than reciprocated. You were one of the very first, if not the first, leader in NECAN that I ever had the privilege of meeting. It was in Antalya back in 2011, and you'd come over for an event in Europe, and you just impressed me when you and your good wife Valerie got up on stage and spoke, and I just thought, wow, this is a guy that is all heart, and I just love the privilege of being able to work with someone that's achieved so much. And it's still so down to earth, so approachable, so accessible, and just so humble like you are. It's fantastic. So it's a great privilege for me to call you friend, Dave, and it's great to work with you, support you, help you, and to be a part of this team together. That's what it's all about.
Thank you very much. We've got a mutual admiration society, and we are looking for more members.
Yeah, absolutely, absolutely.
Well, happy Easter, everyone, and Ben, thank you so much for taking some time out and sharing.
My pleasure, my pleasure, and thank you everyone for being on the call.
To learn more about NECAN, we encourage you to contact the person who suggested you listen to this information.